It's obviously percolated over the weekend when it first surfaced late last week that in the region of Waterloo in Guelph, actually, I guess it was a 26-year-old dad goes to pick up his 4-year-old daughter. You must be familiar with the story. She had doodled about a gun that dad used to kill monsters and bad guys, and one thing led to another. He was led off in cuffs from the principal's office, taken to the station, strip searched, and as a consequence now, there are a lot of people examining what seems to be an overreaction and how it could have come to this. To put it into some context or perspective, we're joined on the line now by Waterloo Regional Police Chief Matt Tarigan. Chief Tarigan, good to have you on the Oakley Show. Good morning.
Good morning, John. It's good to talk to you.
You know, I guess there's been fierce blowback on this, a lot of commentary, as you can, you probably are aware of that, certainly. But what do you make of how this has kind of been portrayed in the media? I mean, it says that there's been an overreaction. The police, I think, are being criticized for that as much as anybody else. Is that fair?
Well, I think that's a great question and really something that requires us to have a bit of a conversation about, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, how does this thing get some traction the way it does? And I think we have to be really careful here. I do not want to come across as trying to divert attention or blame somewhere else and try to avoid having an open and honest conversation about our actions. So please don't get me wrong on this, but there, the vitriolic emails and incredible outpouring of, I don't know how you would describe it, but there's all sorts of consternation in the community about what happened, and in part because, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's just a sign of our times and the fact that we have this need for speed and we want everything so quickly, we don't take the time to actually get the details of what happened, and the media is exactly in the same place as many of us are where when it comes to something like that. And so all of a sudden, there are characterizations and sensationalizing of what occurred that are not accurate, that leaves an impression that, quite frankly, can be disingenuous for a community when they are trying to have great confidence in the people that are sworn to look out for their rights and their freedoms and their safety.
All right. Well, if that was the idea behind this, I mean, I'm guessing because there are processes or procedures and protocols in place. And is that what tripped all of this to lead from one to another up the chain of command, from the teacher to the principal to the child welfare services and ultimately to your department?
Well, I think we've got two different trains of streams of thought going here. I mean, I thought from your question, you're asking me, how does this story get to a point where everybody is sort of outrageous, you know, about what happened and what the police did. And I'm saying because they haven't taken the time to actually get the details. I mean, so for example, look at your lead-in on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you first of all, you talk about the region of Waterloo and where you're talking about the city of Guelph, I'm not sure, but I'm sure you know the city of Guelph has nothing to do with the region of Waterloo.
You're right.
So there's an important detail here that this kind of gets thrown out there, and now all of a sudden now people are thinking Guelph's in Waterloo region. This has nothing to do with Guelph. Second thing is, this person wasn't handcuffed and, you know, in front of everybody at the school and dragged out of the school and then characterized, his treatment wasn't characterized or handled the way it was characterized by you or others, and I'm not trying to blame you. I'm just saying we need to be very careful on how we're describing certain things. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that when we look at this, and as a result of a review that we've done over the weekend, just a cursory review of what transpired, beginning today, we're going to be doing a very thorough review of not only our actions, but the circumstances that led to
our actions. All right, but then walk me through it here. I guess I need help in understanding it, and I've given you an opportunity here to tell us, in your words, how this all came to be, that we've got a 26-year-old before the media claiming all his daughter did was draw a gun and say that this is my dad and he kills bad guys and monsters, and this led to his being taken away in handcuffs, strip searched. First of all, let's deal with the strip search. Was he strip searched at your station house?
When we lodge a person in the cells, our procedure calls for sort of like a an assessment, a risk assessment on each individual person that's brought into the cells, and if it hits a certain threshold where a thorough search is required, then we actually have a very clear procedures and protocols on how to conduct a thorough search. But yes, a thorough search would be conducted on a person being lodged in the cells when they hit a certain threshold of risk, and in this particular case, based on the fact that the booking officers believed that they were booking a person on involved in an investigation and potential charges where there are weapons involved, it hit a certain threshold.
Well, where would they have gotten that belief, though, Chief? Where would they have come up with that belief?
And that's exactly, that's where really we need to take a long, hard look at our procedures and our actions here, because what happens is we have an interaction between a child and a teacher, and the conversation and the discussions, including the drawings that the child did, but also a few other facts that come forward, leads the teacher to believe that this child and the child's siblings may in fact be in harm's way, and as a result of that, contacted Family and Children's Services.
All right, and so when Family and Children's Services get involved, is it an automatic that if they call you, you must engage?
Well, they go through their own, for lack of better words, investigation, and they take a look at all of the circumstances, and some of which I'm sure they haven't even disclosed with us. There's privacy issues there, but I shouldn't say not disclosed with us. They would have disclosed that during the course of the investigation, but they haven't disclosed it publicly. But they then take a look at all of the information they have from the teacher and elsewhere and assess a particular risk for the child and the child's siblings, and at that point made a decision based on their information that they ought to call the police because they had a concern that this child may be in harm's way because there may be the unsafe storage of a weapon or a gun that's in this home.
Well, as has been pointed out, and I was saying earlier, I mean, Monday morning quarterbacking always has the benefit of hindsight, 2020 and all. It might have been just video games Dad was playing, killing bad guys and monsters. As some have pointed out to me in emails and on the air, gun ownership seems to lead to automatic suspicion, even if it's legal gun ownership. Do you think there might have been jumping to conclusions based on that?
No, and I think that's where we run into danger that all of a sudden we start, getting into circumspect and making assumptions. I mean, the reality is, you know, we had with the best of intentions, and in everyone in this particular case was concerned only for the child's welfare, and they wanted to make sure that they were prudent in their investigation to ensure that this child or their siblings weren't in harm's way. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of information that's in front of them and in front of the officers when they decide, okay, we need to look into this further. And the child's not wrong. I mean, we can't lose sight of the fact that we've got, at the end of this all, the gun, and there was a gun. It was just happened to be a toy gun. And John, one of the things that did not come out, but yet we disclosed this to the media right from the beginning, one of the things that did come out is that the gun that we found, although it was a toy gun, is exactly the same type of gun, not the same one, but the same type of gun that was used in a string of pharmacy robberies very recently in Kitchener. And with just some minor modifications, we've got adults that believed it was a real gun. You can see how a 4-year-old or a 9-year-old would also believe that. So the child wasn't wrong. There was a gun there. It just wasn't a real gun.
Will you be issuing an apology to Mr. Sansoni, or do you feel that's warranted at all?
We issued, personally, the officers and the investigators apologized to Mr. Sansoni at the moment that it was discovered what we had, in fact, in front of us wasn't a real gun. The investigators who, were very respectful of Mr. Sansoni with not discounting the fact that obviously his detention was something that needs to be looked at as well, but they apologized right to Mr. Sansoni personally. But
all right, I've got to leave you on that note, Chief. I'm out of time. I appreciate your time, though, this morning in clarifying where you're coming from and putting some context to this. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
You got it. Chief Terrigan out there in Waterloo, Kitchener, on the Oakley Show Talk Radio, AM 640.